It is Troy with Rural Focus. Always nice to catch up with one of the team from Valenti Lawyers, and time right now to catch up with Matthew Noonan-Crow. Matthew, good morning, mate.
Good morning, Troy. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Now, this morning you'd like to discuss some judicial comments that has happened in the recent Supreme Court decision against Johnson and Williams. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, this decision in Johnson and Williams was handed down a couple of months ago by Justice Solomon. And in that case, he made a comment that justice is not achieved through the application of comparative data produced by electronic search engines. Rather, justice is achieved through the application of legal principle through the lens of the human mind, attentive to an individual's particular circumstances. And this really appealed to me because at the moment, there's been, well, in recent years, there's been a huge development in the legal technology space. We're very reliant on computers now, I suppose everyone is. And, you know, there's been all of this predictive software that has been invented where, you know, some of the larger law firms, for example, will tell you that they have software that can predict the outcome of a particular case. And there's discussions in the legal sector about the possibility that courts may well eventually be obsolete and that our cases will be determined by feeding data into a computer that will then produce a decision. This comment from the judiciary really shows that that's probably a fair way off. We've still got a system that is very human in its nature, and one which doesn't rely solely on legal precedent, on comparing data from particular cases or, you know, sets of analysis that have been produced. And I think this case is interesting. I mean, it's not actually an area of law in which we practice at Valenti Lawyers, but it's a matter that concerns a drink driving offence. And this fellow lived 5 kilometres out of town in the East Kimberley, and he was drink driving and subsequently as a result was penalised with a permanent lifelong disqualification from holding a driver's licence. The man appealed the penalty many years after its imposition. I think it was some 12 years after the penalty, after the time for appealing had passed.
Yep.
And it appears that the state relied heavily in resisting his appeal on statistical data as to, you know, well, in these types of cases where the delay is really long, what's the sort of period of time where courts will generally allow an appeal to be made?
I was going to say, it seems like a long amount of time to
It's an extremely long amount of time. One of the interesting things about the case was that Justice Solomon actually commented about the sort of epic landscapes and irrelevance of time in the East Kimberley region. And the appellant was a man from an Aboriginal background. And I think that that probably came into play as well, because it was something that Justice Solomon commented on. And I'm not sure whether there were also language barriers, but certainly there would have been issues in relation to access to legal services in that region and that sort of thing. He was represented, but I think ultimately what would have happened is he would have gone to see this lawyer, and the lawyer would have said to him, well, it's been 12 years, but let's give it a crack, because there are good reasons why this is, you know, not a fair penalty. And that's ultimately the decision that Justice Solomon reached. That happened in, I think it was February.
Does it always go like that in the Supreme Court? Do they always leave it that long for 10 or so years to go and hear another court case?
Well, no, generally speaking, not. Generally speaking, the court will be very much you know, looking at a case and saying this is a bit long in the tooth. But I mean, you know, we've got things like the Bell Corporation litigation, which has gone on for decades. So, you know, it really does depend on the individual circumstances. And I think in this case, the lawyer that this fellow had was able to convince the court that it was appropriate to hear the case, notwithstanding the lengthy amount of time that had passed.
All right. How are things there, mate, at Valenti Lawyers?
Very good, thanks. We're very busy at the moment. I think everyone in Western Australia seems to be quite busy at the moment. Well, I hope they are. Certainly most of the people that I'm speaking to. I think people in hospitality might be suffering a little bit, but perhaps not in the region. We are basically people who would like to have a chat with your listeners. If if they've got a legal problem, for example, that's worrying them, that's keeping them awake at night, that sort of thing, we can provide that human face that would be similar to what the court would provide, but provide them with that understanding and be able to look at things and say, well, this doesn't seem quite right, and find the legal solution for them.
All right. What's the best number to get you on at Valenti Lawyers, mate?
9224622. And we have our offices in East Perth, but we also frequently visit Northam.
Okay.
And so you can have an appointment in Northam even, if that's more convenient for you.
Or even better still too, check out the website today too, valentilawyers.com.au. Matthew Noonan-Crowe, partner there at Valenti Lawyers. Mate, thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much, Troy. Always a pleasure.